Hello and welcome everyone to Current Events, the podcast about what two random guys on the internet are watching on television. And right now we are steaming to the close of the first season of Star Trek Discovery with the penultimate episode, The War Within, The War Without, something like that.
The War Without, The War Within, there yes.
Yes. But before we jump into that, some big news. We're going to be welcoming all of our new listeners from Stitcher and Apple Podcasts.
Ooh.
I finally put our podcast up on the servers. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the current season of whatever we're watching up on for free up on the podcast servers. And then everything else, the older archive stuff, will go behind a paywall.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So anyway, welcome everyone. And we, so let us get...
Going to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to, see, that just throws off my rhythm when I have to do something. Durr. Yeah, I'm Jake McMillan, and joining me is my good friend Mike Slocum. Say hi, Mike.
Hey, everybody.
And Mike is going to start us off by reading the IMDb recap.
Because they're always so useful.
So useful.
Okay. Season 1, Episode 14, got a 7.4 rating with 2,800 people. A little lower than normal, but Burnham and the crew are faced with a harsh reality of the war during their absence. In order to move forward, Starfleet must use unconventional tactics and sources to take their next action against the Klingons.
That almost
gives stuff away.
I was going to say, that actually hints at some of the stuff that happened. Usually these things are completely opaque. They don't make any sense at all. I actually agree with the lower rating, I think, just because it seems like an episode that's just setting up another one.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
We've come off of a series, like a machine gun, of just incredible episodes. And so, you know, we needed a moment to catch our breath and get ready for the big final swing at the end of the season.
Yep.
So, although, and my first note was, this kind of feels like a new season starting. So they open with, they're repainting their call sign on the hull, because they're back in our universe.
Yep.
And the Emperor doesn't make a great first impression.
No, yes.
She spills the beans to Saru that Kelpians are eaten in her world. And, of course, this upsets Saru because he specifically asked Burnham if there were Kelpians in that universe, and she said, no.
No.
What she meant to say was, not ones that aren't cooked and eaten.
That's right, yes. You don't want to know. You don't want the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, that was... Moving
was a tough scene because, you know, you can really feel, you know, first of all, the Emperor is angry because she didn't want to be taken out of her universe. And secondly, she is not used to not being treated like an emperor.
Yes.
And the first thing she does is tell Saru that he's a slave. So she's not, anyway. So, yeah, and basically at this point, you know, they don't know what to do with her, so they just put her into a room.
Yeah, beam her to her quarters, right? Please.
Yes, exactly. So we find out that Tyler is out of surgery.
Yes.
And that they have essentially removed the Klingon from him and left the human, or at least that was what they attempted to do.
Yeah, that's apparently what Laurel broke the conditioning or whatever.
Yeah, and Saru asks, he's having trouble recovering, and so Saru asks Burnham to go see him, and she says, is that an order?
I don't think so.
This is like, hey, listen, your ex-boyfriend who broke up with you in the worst possible way has been in a car accident. Go to the hospital and visit him. It's like, with a pillow?
Yes.
So... there does appear, at least, you know, at this point, there is nothing left of the Klingon, although Tyler can access Voke's memories, which will be helpful, I think, in the future.
Yes. According to the doctor, he presents as Ash now, but she says, I don't think he's a Klingon or a human. I just, you know, he went through reassignment procedure.
And apparently they found out that this was a prototype for a future infiltration unit, basically. Yes. Thank God it didn't work because it would be extremely effective. And it sounds like from Ash Tyler's retelling of it that he went through some pretty awful stuff and that they did it without anesthesia.
Yeah, apparently, yes.
Klingons. What are you going to
do? Klingon thing, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. And it also comes out in this conversation that Tyler was honestly and truly in love with Burnham, while mm-hmm. Voke was honestly and truly in love with Laurel.
He was, talk about split personality love triangle, man.
Yeah, it would be like Jekyll and Hyde having different girlfriends. Then a really good scene comes, and there are a couple of really good scenes in this episode, and this was the one where they are suddenly set upon by a Federation cruiser, and before they even know what's happening, they're being boarded. The bridge is being boarded, and the Admiral and Sarek take control of the ship.
Yeah.
And that
looking for Lorca.
Yes, that's the... And the Admiral's a little pissed at him.
just a bit.
Yeah. He did kind of... did the modern equivalent of selling her into white slavery. Mm-hmm. He just kind of gave her away to the enemy. The very first thing that we see... is Sarek mind melds with Saru.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing in this universe that he did in the other universe, which is acting as sort of a lie detector test.
Yep.
But he gets the whole story and sort of dumps it on the Admiral that their Lorca was a fake Lorca and that he's dead.
Yep.
And the crew has been through a hell of a thing. Yeah. And I guess, when you think about it, they... disappeared for 9 of the most critical months of the Federation.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. So there is always the question, especially after what Lorca did to the Admiral, if they are following their own agenda. You got an Apocalypse Now kind of situation where you got to come in and get this guy.
Yep.
And but we do find out in the following meeting that they have been able now to get the algorithm distributed to their remaining ships.
Yes, and also that the Terran, apparently they saw the Discovery destroyed, but it was the Terran Discovery that had swapped places with the Federation Discovery.
Yeah, so suddenly the Discovery shows back up on their radar and is hailing everyone, trying to get someone's attention, and they're like, mm-hmm. this can only be trouble. The only question that I had was, I guess. I guess that the Admiral didn't know about the alternate universe until they told her.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because the very first thing I thought was, well, okay. So this was kind of a point for me, which was the very first thing that Sarek says after the mind meld is, Saru is who he claims to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if he meant this is our Saru versus one from the other universe, or if they're worried that he's one of the Klingon infiltrators. I don't know, but he basically, there was some question as to if anyone on the bridge was really who they were.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
So,
that's because they thought the Terran Discovery was destroyed, but is it a set of imposters or something? Right. Why is this Discovery back? Where did it come from?
My question here was basically, if they were able to very quickly disseminate the algorithm, from the Discovery to the remaining starships, why didn't they do that before they left for, to head to Starbase 49 or whatever it was?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, except, of course, if bureaucracies, right, then they would definitely say, bring that here and have our scientists take a look at that algorithm and make sure it's valid before we disseminate it to all of our ships. So that, yes, that may have been what was going on there. But again, they just could have beamed it, you know. So,
yeah, they could, yeah, they could have still, they could have evaluated it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, send it subspace.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't want the Klingons to know that they had it.
Yeah, and at this point, of course, all protocols are off because they've lost all their star bases and a third of their fleet.
Yes. Right?
Which we find out that, and then we find out that basically the Klingon houses are not united. They're just raiding the Federation at random to sort of build up their own bona fides as to who's going to be the best house.
Yeah, counting coup, in the worst possible way. Yeah. They're, you know, like, we're better than you because we killed, you know, we blew up three planets or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Federation is basically fodder for the Klingons right now.
And because it's coming at them from 24 different directions, they never know where to protect first.
Yes.
Right? And they've been at peace for so long, and the Federation is a peaceful organization, that they probably don't have enough ships to protect everywhere at once.
Yep.
You know, like, we'd be in trouble right now if Canada invaded.
Right? We don't,
you know, of course, not that they would want us, you know, obviously.
Yeah, really.
I expect them to build a wall any day. but you know what I'm saying is, we don't defend against Canada. We don't defend against Mexico. You know, if they massed an army, we would be in trouble, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's probably the situation, too, because they don't know where the attacks are coming from, and they're using all kinds of dirty tricks.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Kamikaze starships coming in and,
setting,
you know.
Yeah, setting off setting their engine to critical while it's in hidden in a docking bay, you know, in a starbase.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
yep.
Crazy. Let's see. So,
now we get a nice little scene with Stamets where he runs into Ash and he just can't deal with it. I mean, understandably so. Ash killed his partner. But he's just having a really hard time, you can see that it's a real strain on Stamets trying to deal with this.
Yeah, I have a couple of things happening before that. Basically, they can no longer jump because they don't have spores.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
And then I have a note that says it's time for the Admiral to meet the Emperor.
Who is not happy to be a guest.
Yeah, exists. And I think that the Emperor, you could see her almost immediately scheming. How am I going to get out of this, right? So that's going to be interesting because you have two very strong-willed women in opposition to one another. And then you have Burnham in the middle who is sort of emotionally compromised because of who Georgiou looks like.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then,
she even admitted she can't lose both of them. So
right, and so then, of course, I think it's actually kind of, I think it's going to pay off because, Georgiou is the Emperor, so she knows how to fight everyone, right, including the Klingons. So that's probably going to help. And so then Tyler is basically has a little Fitbit put on his wrist and he's like, and Saru is like, well, look, I'm not going to take away your freedom. You know, I mean, you're not the guy who committed those crimes. And so we're going to watch you, but you're free to roam the ship and run into everyone you've wronged.
Yes, go for it.
Oh man. Yeah. That's like, to me, I was like, wait, this is his punishment.
Yes.
Right, is not being put into prison where he doesn't have to see all these people.
Yep.
And so, he runs into Stamets. Stamets does such a good job. The actor who plays Stamets is amazing. And he had a really devastating thing to say. You know, did it gut you that you killed a good man? Good. You know?
Yeah.
That was good. And then he goes to get something to eat. And, of course, you know, nobody wants to sit with him. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Tilly does.
Tilly does. Because she is just a really good person.
She is a really good person. And it's amazing to me that the actress who portrays Tilly, who always looks to me like a high school senior, is actually 34.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. But, so she goes over and she sits with him. And you have to remember at this point, right, that Ash was an extremely popular person on the ship before everything went down, right? And so you can see a bit as more people join the table, you can see them relieved to have him back, right? It's going to be difficult, but at least he's not, you know, he's not getting the Burnham treatment like when she first arrived on Discovery and everybody wanted to fight her.
Yes.
Yeah, so they come into Starbase One, and I was just like, man, they really telegraphed this, right? Because the Admiral's like so relieved. Oh, here we are at Starbase One. And I'm like, okay, well, there's no way Starbase One's still there.
That's right. Just no way.
Right? So, yeah, but it's worse than that. Not only is it there, it's now a Klingon base.
Yes.
With a huge Klingon signet on the outside.
Yeah.
And that is... That breaks the Admiral.
She just freezes.
Yeah,
she freezes
up, in shock. And Saru is like, maximum warp, get us out of here. You know,
anywhere, I don't pick a direction, go.
Yes, and it takes a moment for the Admiral to recover.
Yep.
Right, and I think that was the most real thing, you know, that they could have done with that character, because you don't just shrug that off. That was their last haven.
Yep.
And it's now gone, right? So the Admiral, I've got a note here, and I time stamped it. And it says, I know what Burnham's going to say. We have to take the fight to the enemy.
Because, wait, didn't she say that at some point earlier?
I think she says it when she wakes up in the morning.
Yes.
She's brushing her teeth. She goes, we have to take the fight to the enemy. But she's right. Playing defense is not working for the Federation at all.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So
they basically go and interrogate Laurel and say, look, you're killing us. You're killing women and children and blowing up, you know, destroying planets. And how is this honorable? And Laurel basically is like, we've tasted blood and we will never, you either conquer us or we will never relent.
Yeah, it's interesting because the first thing that the Admiral tries to do is to appeal to her honor as if their honor is the same as our honor. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, so she says they're killing women and children, they're killing civilians, they're destroying, you know, food shipments. And Laurel's like, this is war.
Mm-hmm.
And when Klingons fight, it's all out war. There are no innocents. Right. And so she switches tacts and she finally says, so what can we do to end this war? And again, Laurel says, there's no end to the war. There's no negotiated settlement. Conquer us or we'll never stop. Right.
Yep. Yep.
She's not going to get an answer from Laurel. So she goes to see the next best person at fighting Klingons, which is the Admiral.
You mean the Emperor?
The Emperor. Yeah. The Admiral goes to see the Emperor. Exactly. And this, you can see a little bit of a light in Georgiou's eyes, right? Because she's like, aha, now I have something.
I have some leverage.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, and actually, it's not the Admiral. It's Burnham. And she says, how did you defeat the Klingons? And she tells her that the Klingons are like cancer. You can't fight the cells. You have to kill the tumor.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And of course, the only way to do that is to attack their homeworld, Konos.
Okay, so they have another meeting. The Starfleet's tactics are failing. They need a new plan.
We must evolve. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, right. They've got to evolve. It's not working. And of course, I think this is where they have a meeting. The rest of Starfleet's going, no, you've got to come back and defend
Earth, right? Because Earth. It seems like they're heading towards Earth.
Yes. Yep. So you've got to come back. We're calling all the Starfleet, all the ships. We're going to defend Earth. But just, you know, this isn't going to work. They can't play a defensive game and beat the Klingons. It's because the Klingons will just never relent. They will keep throwing stuff at you until you lose.
Yeah, yeah. We saw that in Vietnam. You can't not attack. You can't never cross the 44th parallel or whatever it was. You know, it just gives the enemy infinite time to rest and recoup and, you know.
Yep. Right.
So and this kind of worried me about Starfleet's leadership, because they've been getting their ass kicked, and if they haven't evolved already, then we need new leaders.
Well, it's like, you know, they've had 9 months and it hasn't sunk in yet. It's like, you know, Starfleet has always been about, you know, honor and doing the right thing and not attacking first, and it ain't working.
Yeah. And yes. And the fact that they have not started, attacking Klingon, the Klingon Empire, in the outreaches, mm-hmm. destroying their colonies and attacking their civilians is the reason why they're getting their asses kicked. They're giving free rein to the Klingons. They don't have to defend. They can. All they have to do is attack.
Yep.
Yeah. So we've seen this before. And there is in the military. They always say that the generals fight the last war.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's the young people coming up who have to figure out how to fight this war because the old generals can't figure it out.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they get their plan together, and with the help of the Emperor, they decide they're going to jump inside Kronos.
Yeah. So it turns out that Kronos, nobody even knows what Kronos looks like. It's never been mapped by the Federation, and so they don't even know how to attack it. And it's only information coming from Georgiou that allows them to figure out the plan. And that plan is. Because I guess the whole of the Klingon civilization on Kronos is underground.
Yeah, or a huge part of it. Yeah. Or that it's riddled with volcanic chambers and stuff. And,
oh yeah, I guess they said the volcanoes are not active, right? So that's why there are chambers there. Okay, yeah. Just for some reason I got the idea. Well, they can't live above ground or whatever.
No, they're. I mean, if you remember, they did. By the way, give a shout out to the first Enterprise. Time Wise. No one's been to Kronos since Archer went there, and 100 years ago.
Now I have to go back and try to find that episode and figure out what happened there.
Well, that's I think the first very early on when they deliver the Klingon back to.
I forgot. I thought that was TNG. That's right. But they do that. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. So what they're going to do is they're going to hop in and they're going to launch drones to map the surface, and then they're going to call in every available starship to bomb the living shit out of that planet.
And only one problem though is they have no spores to drop in.
So
they get an ambitious plan. They are going to go to a moon and terraform it with spores.
And it was really fun the way that Stamets sort of announced what was going to happen. He said, "Take me to this moon and called Veda and prepare for a show." Yeah. And then my first thought was Wrath of Khan, right? Mm-hmm. Because in there, the big weapon is the life force weapon, right? Where they can instantly terraform an entire planet, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was a nice scene. It was interesting, it went pretty fast. But it was, it's like, Starfleet's going to use their technology to actually go grow some more spores, which makes a lot of sense.
And it was interesting what Stamets said was that the report said that it wasn't possible, right? That it didn't work. And Stamets says actually his superior buried it because he didn't want anyone else to have access to the spores. All right. So that's a classic, right? A mistake. Mm-hmm. So now it is going to work, obviously. So that's going to be cool. Mm-hmm. And then the Emperor calls Sarek to come for a little visit.
Yeah.
And this is when you feel like, the other hand is about to show itself. And essentially what she says is she did give a valid solution to Burnham. But it's only a temporary solution.
Yep.
Right? You see, if you want to stop the Klingons, you have to do what I did, and that is you completely destroy their society.
Yes. You got to obliterate them. Yeah.
Yep. So that's...
And the Emperor wants to end the war, obviously, because she wants to... She thinks that she's going to get something out of it.
We don't know yet what that is. She basically said, if you give me what I want, I'll give you what you want. And that is a solution to your Klingon problem. We don't know what it is she wants, except the obvious, which is to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And of course, when she asked about going home before, Burnham said, there's like 6 trillion people over there who want to kill you.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm sorry. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Tilly and Burnham have a really interesting conversation while she's packing up the spore whatever they were, mm-hmm. seedlings or whatever, and yep. she basically says, you need to go to Tyler.
Yeah, don't regret loving someone. Mm-hmm. And some really great lines in there. You know, she really makes Tilly, the character of Tilly really makes this a very human episode.
She's actually become sort of the emotional core of this series.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And
it's kind of like Deanna Troi was in mm-hmm. Next Generation.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And it's you know, it's very obvious. It's just like how we treat Ash is what he will become.
Right.
You know, his fate was going to be in a cell or in a lab, and you know, that's just not, you know, that's not how we want him to end. Yeah, and then basically the great advice is like, look, you need to go say what you have to say, even if it's goodbye.
Yeah.
And you've got to get closure on this, or it will eat you alive.
So okay, so they have a nice little kind of going away conversation right before they go to seed the moon. Mm-hmm. Because the next thing that's going to happen after they do that is they're going to jump into a cavern in Konos, right? Which is just so... one of the things I wanted to talk about was the fact that Tilly echoes the sentiment here that she didn't sign up for war.
Yeah.
Right? This was, you know, when being posted to Starfleet, you know, was not a military thing as far as she was concerned, right? They mm-hmm. were more of a scientific and expeditionary force.
Yep.
Yeah, and so it's interesting.
Anyway, at this point they get to the moon, they plant the spores, they grow a new forest.
I do not want to skip over this scene. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just
the whole mechanics of how the devices worked, the whole thing of it electrifying the planet's surface, and
doing the EMP pulses or whatever it was that they did to, you know, to energize the spores, and the cool descent of the delivery system. You know, it's like, oh, it's perfectly accurate.
And somebody,
you know, they go in and they
somebody
really really thought about this and put some effort into this particular scene, because it was really well done.
So this is one of the best scenes they've had. I just really liked it. And then boom, they've got spores.
Yep.
So they are replenishing the mycelial network, which helps all the universes and will also help them, because now they can jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they cut to Byrne going to Ash.
Mm-hmm.
I love writing it that way. Boy, there's not a lot of trust there on Burnham's part. She's standing. She's doing social distancing, and this is before
and he
the
takes
pandemic.
A step forward, and she takes a step back.
And he basically kind of gets the point across that the reason the programming failed was that mm-hmm. his love for her would not allow him to surrender his Ash side.
Yep, he blocked it. Blocked Volk from claiming. But he has to reclaim his life, and Burnham basically, it's like, look, it's not easy letting go. But
it's not easy letting you go, which I thought was really interesting, because that's a breakup thing, you know. That's a thing you say when you're done. And so, I know what I was going to say before. I was so mad about this too. I was jotting some notes down, and I went to look up the IMDb little. Recap for this episode mm-hmm. or another episode. Actually, it was when I was publishing the podcast, and I accidentally chose the second season.
Oops.
Yeah, so I know a little bit about Tyler that I wish I didn't know, you know.
Uh-huh,
yep. So anyway, that's a spoiler alert, but anyway,
Well, spoiler for you,
gotta be careful.
But you'll discover all the intricacies of how we get there,
which is also
very good. That's the fun part. Yep.
Yeah, and this was before I had seen today's episode, so I didn't even know at this point if Tyler survived the surgery.
So
I'm like, wait a minute, he's in season two? So, damn it. So anyway, So then probably the biggest bomb they drop in the episode is when they parade the Emperor mm-hmm. onto the deck and pretend that she is Captain Georgia.
Yes, she's back. Rescued, mysteriously rescued.
And she's going to lead the ship into battle against the Klingons.
Yes, the next twist. This was the next little twist in there. It's like, it's nice. It's like, they got the Emperor. You know, the Emperor gets sucked back in, and already she is insinuating herself to become indispensable in this universe. And you can see why it is that she was, you know, Captain Giorgio in this universe and why she was the Emperor in the other universe.
Yeah.
She just has that ability to always sort of land like a cat and come out on top.
Yeah, I think that this version of Giorgio is the same as the other version without the empathy.
Yes.
Right. Yep. And so she's just she has all of the brilliance of the military commander, but at the same time doesn't really give a shit about anybody.
Yeah.
She just sees the potential to control another starship and, you know, mm-hmm. and fight again. So she's
yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe make war on the Federation herself. You know, who knows?
Who knows? Whatever. It is pretty clear that she has got ambitions far beyond where she is now. This
yes.
is just like a step to get wherever it is she wants to go. And she probably doesn't even know, but she's going to take advantage of every little thing she can get.
Yeah, and there's no reclaiming that soul. I mean, she's rotten to the core.
Yep.
So that was the episode that was.
Mm-hmm.
And it really did sort of just act like a palate cleanser for the final episode. You know, it's like, okay, everything is set up, and I can tell you right now, we're going to have trouble taking notes next week.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot that's going to happen. But very enjoyable. This has turned into one of my favorite TV shows. Really, yep. really enjoying it. I'm watching The Expanse with my wife. We're going through the first season right now, and just getting to really enjoy. So it's like your situation and my situation reversed. I'm getting to enjoy her hitting the surprises as mm-hmm. she goes through, and the twists and the turns and everything. And that's a lot of fun.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and there are lots to come.
And
very cool.
We're gonna hit next week. We're going to finish up this season.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that we're then gonna continue on to season two.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, good, because
you don't want to stop.
I don't want to stop. We have typically jumped out after the first season on these shows, and that would be a mistake on this one because it's just really good.
yep. So. Well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, season two is different, but I think it's equally good in other ways.
Okay.
So we'll just, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And we really kind of have a lot of time until the next season of Picard comes out.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like we don't have the time to fill. So, you know, it'll yes. it'll work out well.
It will.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, great. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody, especially our new listeners, for joining us. I'm Jake McMillan.
And I'm Mike Slocum.
And we're saying goodbye.
Bye, everybody.